5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Warning. You're about to experience an unpleasant truth.
America must choose to build a future or obsess about the past. To be a nation of fear, division, and of darkness.
Use your aggressive feeling.
Embrace anger, chaos, and truth, but in the shadow of lies.
Let the hate flow through you.
Together we can choose a different path.
Join me, and together we can rule the galaxy.
Our nation of fear, division, and of darkness.
Break me down with all of your hatred, and your journey towards the dark side will be complete.
Embrace anger. Thrive on chaos. But in the shadow of lies.
So this is how liberty dies. With thunderous applause.
Across the fruited plain and from sea to shining sea.
3 hours of bold truth, excellence, and optimism for America.
The Wendy Bell Radio Program.
Welcome back. Hour number three of the Wendy Bell Radio show. I do want to tell you about our podcast. And I don't know if you guys get into podcasts a lot. Ours is super easy to take with you. I really like it. Every hour is broken down to about 40 minutes of just talk. And I think it's very common sense. It's easy to digest. We try to make it fun and educational, and it's easy to get wherever you get your favorite listening material. At Wendy Bell Radio, just search that and follow us. Download us onto your device because 2 million people already have. And we're just delighted to have you be part of the Wendy Bell Radio army. So this whole Build Back Better nonsense, when I saw that in the article about Haiti regarding 14 years after that earthquake, 14 years after this do-gooder push, a lot of us open up our wallets in times like that. And you feel like 10 bucks, 20 bucks here doesn't do a whole lot. But when there's a need, remember Live Aid? Remember We Are the World, all that? I mean, when there's something that strikes a universal chord with people, even those who should not, because they don't have the ability to, do it anyway. And they give. And it is so damn frustrating to see how many times the goodness of everyday Americans and everyday people around the world to try to make a difference, how much that is co-opted. And the money never gets to the places it's supposed to go. Like, I don't understand how you do that. I don't understand how Joe Biden could stand up at the State of the Union and bark at us about how MAGA is a threat to democracy, how his predecessor is a threat to democracy, when what he is in just 3 years has been a tragic example of America in retrograde. We're going backwards. We're not going forwards. And I saw that, sadly, when Joe and I were driving. I think we were driving several years ago with one of our sons to go visit the University of Notre Dame. And from Pittsburgh to Indiana, it's a pretty straight shot. It's kind of boring, one straight shot, like kind of dull. But once you get into Ohio, in Lordstown, Ohio, you would pass the General Motors factory, the big plant. They made the Chevy Cruze there. It was this bustling community. And around the Ford, or around the Chevy plant, around the GM plant, I should say, all sorts of ancillary businesses grew. The local schools had to get bigger, and the barber shops and nail salons and bars and restaurants and shops. And then it closed. And it's acres and acres and acres on the turnpike of nothing. A reminder of failure, of loss, and a collapse of a community. And it went away. The businesses closed, and it's sort of like the movie Cars, right? The Pixar film Cars. and the community dies. Well, this is what is happening in Joe Biden's Build Back Better of suck. Bidenomics is a moniker for something that it's not. It's terrible. And Perry, Iowa, is meeting Lordstown, Ohio right now as Tyson Foods is cutting a big pork plant and slashing 1,000 jobs. I've got a handful of these for you. That, of course, these don't make it into the commercials for the DNC. But this is the reality on the ground, street level reality of voting Democrat or allowing Democrats to suck and steal and lie and cheat and collude. And they do so with a lot of Republicans, to be fair. So here's your story. USA Today, Tyson Foods closing Iowa pork plant as company moves forward with series of 2024 closures. Now, that's not the sound of a booming, bustling, growing, unemployment low, opportunities high. This is great. That's not the story. More than 1,000 workers. That's the entirety of my son's high school. More than 1,000 workers at another Tyson food plant are out of work after the company announced it had permanently closing one of its Iowa facilities. The move comes as the Arkansas-based food company closed two chicken plants and announced job cuts last year and said four other plants were expected to cease operations within the first half of fiscal 24, with related charges at the time expected to cost the company $300 million to $400 million. And on Monday, Tyson announced it was going to shutter the doors to its Perry, Iowa pork packing plant. After careful consideration, we've made the difficult decision to permanently close our Perry, Iowa pork facility, company person said to the USA Today. Small city of Perry is in Dallas County, about 40 miles northwest of Des Moines, a population of just over 78,000 people at the time of the 2020 census. I mean, say goodbye to Perry. Say goodbye to Perry, Iowa. It's now going to be written off the map. Why is that happening? Is it because everything costs more because Joe Biden's plans purposely suck? Is it because of overregulation and the interference of this administration in every aspect of life, the bureaucratic nonsense, meddling in everything we do, meddling in which farmers can grow what kind of this or that. And if you don't oblige, they pull an Amos Miller on you and come in and shut you down, making up claims that you've made people sick without proof. Does that sound like building back better? No, nor does it sound like that in New York City, where the green climate suck has now claimed 100 pizzerias that could shut down to the green rule that is going to force shops that use coal and wood fire stoves to cut their carbon emissions by 75%. Are you guys really at home? Are you guys worried about this? Are you worried about the uptick, the slight negligible uptick in carbon dioxide in our environment, which, by the way, scientists will tell you, has led to a vast greening of the planet? People aren't dying. We're not dropping over dead any more than your stove is making your kid an asthmatic and putting him in danger. Threats to democracy. I mean, over 100 pizzerias could shut down in New York City alone due to the government's new rule forcing shops that use coal and wood fire stoves to cut their carbon emissions by 75%. How do you prove that? How do you prove that that's going to do a damn thing? You don't. You don't. All New Yorkers deserve to breathe healthy air, and wood and cold fire stoves are among the largest contributors of harmful pollutants in neighborhoods with poor air quality. Really? And now here's the funny thing. If you said, prove it, schmucks, they'd come up with some jibber-jaw science of suck. Probably that would come out in the Journal of the American Medical Association or some other journal that long ago had been co-opted by Big Pharma. You know, that where Anthony Fauci is wagging his purse strings and saying, you know, sorry, but if you don't write this article for me, you're not going to get research money, because he did. So you can't believe that. It's about the climate. No, it's not. It's about control. That's a threat to our democracy. And how about this? So you live in a community and you like to go to a Family Dollar, right? you like to go to Family Dollar, pick up some things on the cheap, got to do it because things are out of control. Well, the owner of Family Dollar, according to the Wall Street Journal, is going to close 1,000 stores. Now, the New York Times says it's been long struggling. The company has long been struggling. You know what, New York Times? Shut up. It's inflation. It's store theft. It's all of these things. Sapping results at the discount retailer. Here's your story. They've got 16,700 locations, including the Family Dollar chain. They said that they're going to close nearly 1,000 Family Dollar stores over the next few years as they battle merger indigestion. That's what they call it. Inflation and store theft. Well, I'm sorry. Are you guys shocked by that? Is it like, oh my gosh, what? Because in your on your taxes in California, it says, well, if the item that you're stealing is under $950, you don't have to put it on your tax return. But if it's over that, make sure you indicate the value. Really? That's like thinking if you're going to take guns away from people, that the criminals are going to be the ones first to hand them over. Really? So you're pummeling people who are already beaten. You're taking away their plants. You're shutting them. You're taking away their jobs. You're taking away their access to food. You're taking away their access to lower dollar goods. That's called building back better. But, you know, I think it's totally cool. Keep doing this. That's called insanity, isn't it? All right, so when we come back, let's talk about this. Did you guys hear about the new LGBTQ club for 8-year-olds? Who wouldn't want to go learn about oral sex after school? Sign me up. Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. You want to talk about threats to democracy? I'm going to go with this happening in Elk Grove, California. You know, we can sit here and we can complain all day about TikTok. Oh, it's China. China's spying on us. China's trying to do bet. China's been doing that for decades. Joe Biden gave China a freaking key to his Penn Biden Center. Why do you think he got so many tens of millions of anonymous Chinese donations? In the same facility where, what? Lo and behold, they found boxes of classified documents. Why ever would those dots connect? Well, if this doesn't tick you off, I don't know what will. A secret elementary LGBTQ club in Elk Grove, California. Parents at a California elementary school were alarmed. This was in January after discovering a third grade teacher was allowed to personally invite all the third through sixth grade classes to a new LGBTQ club he was starting. Now, if it was a gun club, people would have lost their ever-loving minds. But if it's about a bunch of sex crap, UBU is what they call it, UBU. The UBU club, as he called it, was for boys who crush on boys and girls who crush on girls. Dude, stay the hell away from my kids. Because I find you to be dangerous. You're probably a MAP. That's a kind word for pedophile. I don't know if he is or not, but it sure sounds like it. One of those minor attracted persons. You know, we're not going to do the 4-H club after school. We're not going to do something structural. We're going to do an LGBTQ. Let's learn how to love ourselves and people who look like us a little bit more. It's wrong. I want you to hear the news report. Now, that's a very dry news report. The person is like talks like a robot. But you get to hear some of the public outcry because they go to the school board and they're like, you people suck. You suck. Pushback is real. And it has to be. Listen to this.
Parents at Elk Grove's Pleasant Grove Elementary School say they were alarmed to discover a third grade teacher was allowed to personally invite all the third through sixth grade classes to a new LGBT club he was starting called the UBU Club. Education activist Heidi Moore discusses the club.
Their children were essentially being recruited, some as young as second grade, by a teacher there. And he was going around telling them that if they... it was a club for boys who crush on boys or girls who crush on girls, but that anyone could come because there were fun games that you couldn't find anywhere else.
Moore says permission slips were required for all other clubs and that all available activities were listed in the weekly newsletter.
It just seems that everything they did was very obviously trying to hide it from parents, because they didn't require permission slips. They didn't tell parents. They didn't put it in the newsletter, and they held it at lunchtime.
The club's organizer, teacher Daniel Bishop, shared a photo on Facebook of a T-shirt that reads, "I'm the teacher Fox News warns you about," writing, "I think I found my back-to-school shirt." Parents took their complaints and questions to the Elk Grove Unified School Board at a school board meeting earlier this month.
"This board has created a district culture where child sexualization isn't the exception, it's the rule.
The establishment of a gay club in elementary school raises concerns about age appropriateness. While fostering inclusivity is vital, it's crucial to evaluate the developmental readiness of our children's young minds for such discussions.
While I understand the importance of providing a safe space for all, I am deeply troubled by the intentional deception regarding the UVU Club.
If this school board had existed in 2005, you'd all be the villains in an episode of Criminal Minds."
In email communication with parents, Pleasant Grove principal Deidre Wood wrote that the club was accidentally left out of the newsletter and would be mentioned in a future newsletter. Wood also said the purpose of the UBU club is to provide a safe, accepting space for students of the LGBT community. According to Moore, third graders are far too young to be discussing sexuality.
"If you want to talk to your children about that, then that's your right. And just like it's any other parent's right to be in control of when they talk to their kids about sexuality and how they do it. And when the school is secretly going around to second and third graders and recruiting them to a club that involves sexual orientation and possible conversations, private conversations about their sexual orientation, and then being told to keep secrets, that's super concerning."
Okay, what's more dangerous, TikTok or those people? TikTok or that teacher? Some dude, some guy who wants to talk to seven and 8 year olds about sex and about UBU. How about UBU over here? So you have to be able to identify and love, and I say that with ultimate sarcasm, dripping sarcasm, the idea that all these things that the left says are threats to democracy sure pale in comparison to the real harm they have inflicted and continue to do so on a daily basis, not just to you, not just to me, but to our most precious American resources, our children. Damn right parents should be up in arms. Damn right. You know, the speed with which the RNC, the Republican National Committee, is turning up the heat on election integrity. I hope this is going to stun people who are used to GOP complacency, because this crap is real. And all you have to do is ask Jocelyn Benson. She has been served with a lawsuit. Details next on the Wendy Bell Radio program. Welcome back, my friends. You know, we've got a lot to talk about still in the last half hour of this program. And I think there's some great positive news coming out of the RNC. So we got Laura Trump as the second in charge. And she said something very interesting. She says it's time for Republicans to start attacking the game differently. And I agree with her. We need to stop playing children's games when they're playing full-out guerrilla warfare. We need to stop playing by the rules so much. And I'm not saying cheat. But we need to stop playing by the rules so much, because we consistently lose. And it's very frustrating. So, like, literally, a week after this new RNC chair, what's his name? Michael Wheatley, is that his name? Once he's named, this is Donald Trump's pick. It's very interesting to see that it looks like the MAGA faction is clearly in control of the Republican Party. And I believe that that is good. Because MAGA to me is what MAGA means to you. It's not some ugly word. It's not something that we should be like, oh. It's not something that is a negative or a pejorative or a slight or a slam. It's the idea of American greatness. It is making it great again. It's amazing how people who are pro-life are demonized for that. How could you? That's just so gross. Oh, that's right. Celebrating and getting behind life. Right. So we've got some major priority issues in this country. But one of the priorities of the RNC is to drill into the idea of election integrity. And you don't have election integrity when people don't trust in their local elections. And how can you trust your local elections when you have more people voting who are age eligible to vote? Like, I'm just going to put that out there. If you live in a community of 100 people and 80 of them are 18 and older and 150 people vote, do you think you have election integrity? Of course not. And there are places, let's talk about Georgia, let's talk about Pennsylvania, let's talk about Arizona, let's certainly talk about Michigan, where you have voter rolls that are absolutely ridiculous. And there seems to be no effort whatsoever to try to clean them up. Well, of course, the Democrats don't want them cleaned up because they need that wiggle room. You need the dead voters. You need the 8,000 people who voted from P.O. boxes. You need all of that. The same way they needed the Act Blue contributions. Thousands and thousands of them from people who had no idea their names and identities were being used as alleged donors to the DNC. So this is the RNC. I love this headline. And it comes from the Gateway Pundit, and it is important. New RNC leadership sues dirty Michigan Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson and Michigan Elections Director and Eric Chair, you know, that's their election systems. I think that's what we have in Pennsylvania, too. Jonathan Brader. At least 53 Michigan counties have more active registered voters than citizens over the age of 18. You see, that's called failure. Jocelyn Benson, that's your job, sister. You suck. You fail. You fail. Period. End of story. 53 Michigan counties have more active registered voters than citizens over 18. Under the leadership of free and fair elections advocates, Michael Whatley and Laura Trump, the new and improved RNC has replaced the Do Nothing About Election Fraud RNC previously led by Ronna Romney McDaniel. Whatley and Trump were elected in Houston last week to replace McDaniel, whose lackluster performance as RNC chair had many members of the Republican Party calling for her to be replaced. Of course, immediately after that vote, Whatley shared that election integrity will be a top priority. Hell yeah. Saying that the party's goal is to, quote, ensure that it is easy to vote and hard to cheat. Laura Trump, wife of Donald Trump's son, Eric, also expressed her commitment to election security in a recent interview with Sean Hannity, where she claimed massive resources would go toward protecting the vote. It's been rumored that Romney McDaniel is planning to run on the Rhino ticket for the governorship of Michigan in 2026. Oh, we couldn't get Mitt Romney to go away. We can't get this cat to go away either. Where, coincidentally, the new RNC will file its first election integrity lawsuit. The RNC filed the lawsuit representing 30 million registered Republicans in all 50 states, the District of Columbia, and the U.S. territories in the U.S. District Court in Western Michigan. Plaintiffs include Michigan resident Jordan Jortsma, who is currently running for a seat on the Ottawa County Commission as a Republican and Republican legislative aide. All right, so Michigan's dirty Secretary of State, Jocelyn Benson, and her Director of Elections, who also serves as the chair of the election system, are named as defendants in the suit. Okay, so while many states have dropped ERIC, which is the Electronic Registration Information Center, and this was formerly led by Democrat activist David Becker, the state of Michigan continues to pay this Electronic Registration Information Center, which is now chaired by Michigan's Director of Elections, dude named Jonathan Brader, who was handpicked for the position by Jocelyn Benson to, quote, clean its voter rolls. So far, how's that going for y'all? Is that doing really well? Well, let's find out. Of the 83 counties in Michigan, The lawsuit claims at least 53 have more active registered voters than adult citizens over the age of 18. That's so neat. Isn't that neat? And 23 have registrations exceeding 90% of adult citizens over 18. Really? You've got kids these days, ladies and gentlemen, who are apathetic to even going out and getting driver's licenses, right? And you want us to believe that in these counties, 90% of your youths who turn 18 are registering to vote? Bull crap. The 53 Michigan counties with registration rates at or above 100% of the adult population. Let's see where the big offenders are. This is all in Michigan. Alcona, 112%. That's a problem. Antrim, 111%. Every one of these is over 100%. I'm trying to get the big ones. Here's one. Kalkaska, 115%. Where else? All these. Muskegon, 111%. St. Clair, 108%. Van Buren, 104%. Wexford, 105%. An additional 23 counties have active voter registration rates exceeding 90% of adult citizens over 18. The 23 Michigan counties with voter registration rates over 90%. It lists all of them. Boom, boom, boom. They're like 98, 99. The RNC lawsuit states this is not the first time Michigan has failed to abide by the requirements, the National Voter Registration Act requirements. They were sued in court in 2020 for violating it as well. Look, these people continue to get away with it. So the RNC is saying, you know what, suckers? Let's go. You want to play? I think we're going to play. And it's important. Now, this is another great step for the RNC. Do you guys remember the name Christina Bob? Well, Christina Bob is a friend of mine. I like her very much. Christina was a Marine. She is an attorney. She was one of Trump's attorneys. In fact, she was one of Trump's attorneys at Mar-a-Lago when the FBI, under DOJ and Joe Biden's suggestion, raided Mar-a-Lago. She was one of those attorneys on site at the time. Well, this is beautiful because the RNC has just named Christina Bob to its auspices. She is going to serve as an attorney for the RNC. She is smart. She is factual. She has written a book. She wrote a great book digging into the election fraud in Arizona because she was a reporter for OAN, if I'm not mistaken, at the time. And she uncovered all this stuff, did all of this research. I want you to hear the delicious sound of MSNBC crying over this. They can't believe that the RNC is actually getting serious and it did something super smart in hiring Christina Bob. Listen.
Republican National Committee, for example, now completely taken over by Donald Trump and his campaign, now reshaping its leadership with a lawyer who was at the forefront of all the lies about the 2020 election. Former Trump attorney and One America News Network reporter Christina Bob has been hired as the RNC's, ready for this, senior counsel for election integrity. Bob pushed conspiracy theories about the 2020 election, publicly urged then Vice President Mike Pence against certifying the election results on January 6th. She even authored a book titled Stealing Your Vote, the inside story of the 2020 election and what it means for 2024. Bob, also known for playing a key role in Trump's classified documents case, telling the Department of Justice she had no knowledge about government documents at Mar-a-Lago. The FBI, of course, found a trove of materials there 2 months later. She has not been charged with any crimes. In a statement about her new role, Bob said, quote, I'm honored to join the RNC and thrilled the new leadership is focused on election integrity. I look forward to working to secure our elections and restore confidence in the process.
Mika Brzezinski is a hack. Because you know what Mika Brzezinski did not do? She did not read Christina Bob's book, Stealing Your Vote. If she had, she would be aghast at how freaking horrendous and corrupt our elections are in this country. Everything sourced meticulously. And by the way, there was no trove of anything. They found what? 9 pieces of paper or documents that could possibly be considered something that was classified. And Donald Trump, by the way, as then president of the United States, had the power to declassify all of them, which is why he believes he should have immunity. They can't get out of their own way. And now that the RNC is ramping up, it is getting shaped and focused. Well, you're going to hear Christina Bob on this program, I believe, often in the weeks and the months ahead. Because we've got an election to win. And we've got to prevent them from cheating. When we come back, my friends. Oh, my goodness. Wah, wah. Such bad news for CNN. What? Ratings. Can't wait. Next. You know, I have kind of an intriguing position in media in that I'm not a news person. I'm an opinion person. Obviously, I have this radio program where I get to do what I want to do. I own the network. It's what I do. But I have been involved for many, many years in the news. So I've been on both sides of this. It's unusual as well to do radio, television, and live streaming. And I believe that there is a shift, a very cataclysmic, seismic shift away from sitting down and watching television. I think some people still have the TV on in the house. Whether they're captive to it, I don't know. But I don't know really anybody who makes it an appointment to pay attention to what they're saying. And so what I think you're going to see is like a Family Dollar effect coming for CNN, which is why we've been talking about. They're like, you know, Wolf Blitzer and Anderson Cooper and Jake Tapper and what's his face? Wallace, Chris Wallace, like biting their fingernails because they know that the ratings aren't there. The ad revenue is not there. The money ain't there to pay their bloated, outrageous, like $14 million for Anderson Cooper every night. Really? To do what he does? Well, I mean, this is further proof of that, the chopping block coming after the November election. This from OK Magazine. I can't say I've ever gotten anything here, but whatever. CNN ratings panic revealed. Caitlin Collins' primetime show called The Source is tanking. Well, it's better than Jen Psaki's over, you know, Inside Jen Psaki. Blech. Has less viewers than Dayside's Inside Politics with Dana Bash. So as it is, right, you put your stars on during certain hours of the day. There's the hours in the morning. There's money to be made there. But the big money comes in prime time at night, right? That's where the money is. So Caitlin Collins is at night. One would expect that she would do well there, but she's not. Apparently, she's got shockingly low numbers for her show called The Source. In January and February of this year, Caitlin Collins' nightly news show averaged just over 600,000 viewers total, according to The Puck senior correspondent, with Dana Bash, her noontime show, Inside Politics, completely outdoing her colleagues' analytics. To make matters worse, Super Tuesday didn't do a whole lot for the doomed network, as CNN averaged an audience of just 900,000 in primetime. 900,000. Tucker Carlson, what did he used to get? 3.5 million? 4 million? And just 251,000 in the advertiser-coveted 25 to 54-year-old demo. Netting less, and this is scary because MSNBC is just as toxic, maybe worse, netting just like less than half of MSNBC's total audience and tying their rival in the demo for the first time in history in an arena where they were once dominant. They're done. And how about this one? This is fun. Same OKMagazine.com. CNN's ratings reportedly down by 90%. Following Chris Cuomo, Don Lemming, and multiple other scandals. 90%. Now you can say, oh, people really liked Don Lemon and Chris Cuomo. No, the scandals proved how vile certain personalities are on TV. And these two are two of the worst offenders. CNN's ratings have dropped significantly since being hit with multiple headline-making scandals. According to the New York Post, the cable news network had reportedly only 548,000 viewers during the week of January 3rd, 2024. That was a vast difference. Ooh, wait a minute. From 2022, that was way down from the nearly 2.7 million viewers CNN ranked in on the same week a year prior. So 2021, January 3rd, that week of 2021, 2.7 million viewers. 1 year later, the week of January 1, 2022, only 548. That is a monster decline. It comes after CNN personalities Cuomo, Lemon, as well as the president of the network, Jeff Zucker, have found themselves embroiled in scandal. Look, we don't have to read any deeper into this. You guys see what's going on. You hear how they cover the news. We share with you what they say. You just listened to Mika Brzezinski over at MSNBC scoff and guffaw at Christina Bob being named as the senior counsel for election integrity at the RNC. It's childish. And the things that they spew every day, people are tired of. I think we're nearing that point. I think we're nearing that point where certain industries are going to die, where they are not going to be saved. The same way I say this about people in our lives. You know full well there are people in your life that you would argue with respectfully because you love them and you want them in your life. You're not going to be malignant, and there are some who you're going to set free because you know that there's nothing that you're going to do that they're going to hear. You know that there is no meeting in the middle. There is no digging out of this. Can CNN all of a sudden hire someone the way my college, the University of Colorado, hired a single Republican conservative staff member so they could have some semblance of diversity of thought on the college campus? Does that make it better? No. You acknowledge that what you're doing is entirely one-sided. It's not adequate. I don't think that there's a way to save this. I think people's styles, how you get your news, where you get your news, at what time you prefer to get your news, I think that is going to squeeze out the last semblance of mainstream media. And those of us who've been doing it like this, scratching and clawing and showing up every day to bring you what we believe is the truth and the facts and the data to back it up, I think that's the new media. And my golly, I'll tell you, it's good to be on the cutting edge. Delighted to be with you for another day. Hope you come back tomorrow as we wrap up the week. Thanks for being here. We love you guys. Peace.